Fasting and prayer is usually one of those things that kind of tagged as people who are extremely religious or people who are extremely devout, like missionaries or the spiritual giants. But today, the scripture guidance is very clear. It is a normal spiritual discipline, normal spiritual practice for every believer in Christ. But let's define the fasting prayer first. What is fasting? Fasting is voluntary abstaining from food or other legitimate enjoyment for a specified period for spiritual purposes. We can fast from food and technology or entertainment. Fasting and prayer are closely related. And one of the writers wrote, fasting has a symbiotic relationship with prayer, which means it's organically interconnected. In other words, fasting fuels prayer in a way that we can not muster our natural strength and will to practice prayer. The fasting fuels, enables us to pray. But fasting without prayer, and this is not my idea either, one of the authors, fasting without prayer is just a diet. Especially in our days, the intermittent fasting is used as a very healthy way of managing your, you know, controlling your weight and living lifestyle healthy way. And then people practice regularly. And then some other religions, like, you know, the Islamic Ramadan is famous about fasting. But fasting by itself can create all kinds of problems if we have a wrong attitude. First of all, just because we fast and suffer, that doesn't mean that we get some kind of a brownie points for God, from God. The fasting is for us. As all other spiritual disciplines are, so is fasting. In a way that we cannot normally do what we will to do or plan to do by doing the spiritual discipline, we indirectly are able to do. So in other words, even solitude and silence, we want to deny ourselves and, you know, quiet our ego and pride and those things. We could be all well-meaning, but it doesn't work. Well, when you are sitting in silence, we see nothingness and we are barely naked before God. And that's the time that furnace of transformation happens, right? So fasting in the same way, as we are fasting, physiologically, we lack something, and that helps us to hunger after God. The hunger after God enables us, fuels us to pray. Throughout Old Testament and New Testament, there are so many examples. For example, in Old Testament, Moses on several occasions fasted. Hannah, as she prayed for a child, she fasted. David, on several occasions he fasted. Elijah, after his victory over the evil queen Jezebel, he fasted. Ezra, when he was mourning Israel's faithlessness, he fasted. Nehemiah, when he was preparing the trip back to Israel to build the wall around Israel, he fasted. Esther, when God's people were threatened with extermination, she fasted before she went up to King and said, "If I die, I die." Daniel, on numerous occasions, he fasted. In the New Testament, Jesus himself began his public ministry of 40 days of fasting in the desert. Paul, at the point of his conversion, the first thing that he did is fasting. The Christians at Antioch, when they sent up Paul and Barnabas on their mission endeavor, this is the first missions send-off and the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. They fasted. Paul and others, when they appointed elders in all of the churches, they fasted. Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, when you pray, when you give, these are spiritual disciplines, regular practice, right? And then when you fast, not if you fast or if you give. In other words, this is every believer's spiritual discipline, spiritual practice. Throughout church history, we see so many examples of spiritual leaders. I don't know about you, but even as I look back, my family members, starting with my grandma, regularly fasted. My mom, I think this is Korean militant spirituality. I still remember back in Dallas days when she was running business in a building, a cafeteria in an office building. And that was the in thing to do because, you know, you get to have a day off on weekends and holidays. So any time that office people don't work. And then in kind of built-in system that is a breakfast and lunch and they're closed. And I helped out a few occasions and during my vacations. And I still remember when she was praying for one of us and praying for my brother's health and praying for a breakthrough, she will fast, working in a cafeteria. What has happened to our generation, and once again, this is one of my regrets. Past 2-3 years have been very difficult years. We should have fasted earlier and prayed. Is it too late? It's never too late to pray, isn't it? To declare our utter dependence on God. So let me ask this question with you. Why should we fast and pray? There's about dozens of reasons. And I wanted to focus on only 3 or 4. So there are 4 things that we need to remember why fast. And as we're going into fasting and prayer chain for 31 days. The first reason is to humble ourselves before God. for spiritual renewal as we turn to God with all our heart. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says this, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." This is kind of very relational way God is telling us, repent, return to me with all your heart, not just half of your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. In the Old Testament, any religions have this, the ripping, tearing apart your clothes to show your seriousness, devotion to God, to your repentance to God. And God is saying, don't do that. Because your real true repentance and fasting is not an external, but internal. In your inner heart, inner chamber of your heart, to rend your heart. And Jeremiah said, break the fallow ground of your heart. Think about how do you rend your heart or break the fallow ground of your heart? Just, oh, I want to do it? That we would not be a sinner. We would not have a fallen heart if we could will to do it. So the fasting helps us in that. Return to the Lord, your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. Now, what a great hope that is presented to us. And the verse 13 says, we read verse 13. So, we are called to humble ourselves before God through fasting and prayer individually, but as also corporately, communally. And our moderator, Julie, read Joel 1:14. Consecrate a fast, call a fast, gather the people of God. That's what we are doing this month of October, corporately. And notice that the true fasting, as I mentioned, that God desires is not external, but internal. And returning to God, we need to remember and need to be motivated by God's gracious, merciful, steadfastly loving character by faith. In other words, God is delighted. It's not those somber things that we're going into much of a guilt-driven spiritual practice. And that's why Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you fast, clean yourself, put oil on your head. In other words, do not present yourself as you are suffering because of fasting. Look very, very healthy and normal. Because what you're really going through, change of your heart condition, is what God is pleased with. Let's remember that we, as the church of God, the people of God, body of Christ, in calling of fast in the month of October, in 2 days we will begin. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord, your God, and cry out to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has the communal corporate aspect of this attitude. If my people, God, sovereign Lord says, who are called by name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So the first reason to fast and pray is to humble ourselves for God to renew our hearts as we return to the Lord with all our hearts. Second, it is to hear the voice of God more clearly as we seek God's guidance. And once again, I think this could be the primary reason for all of us individually and corporately together. If we think what we are going to do and we came up with all the conclusions, and then we will not rely on God. We're smarter in our own ways. Just like I mentioned about fasting helps us to what we're unable to do in our own self-will, this hearing the voice of God, how do you discern your hearing your own voice and your desire versus God's desire? Through fasting, things become much more clear, but it is always preventive way in the biblical examples. In other words, this was, once again, Paul and Barnabas was being sent as the first missionaries of first century church. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they fasted first. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. It was early Christians' godly habit of seeking to hear Spirit's clear guidance and promptings through fasting and praying. Not having a strategic meeting first. As much as planning and strategy is important, the what comes first is really important in spiritual rhythms, spiritual life. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. So at a critical juncture of life and ministry, they fasted and to hear and discern God's guiding voice more clearly. Until they had that clear promptings, they didn't move. The key is to pray first. Because why fast along with it? Because fasting fuels prayer, declares our hunger after God, hunger for God, rather than thinking cleverly about solutions and remedies first. We also need to be a prayer-first Christians. And we ought to be a prayer-first church as well. Last congregational meeting, I shared this. I am really literally open for any options, including the options that we may close down our church. There might be a one designated Sunday that we call our last public worship service. But before we know all the answers and outcomes, our heart will not depend on the Lord. So going into that, surrendering everything to the Lord. And then I think this invitation, and that's what I've been most encouraged by as I prepare. The invitation is for us, not just for next steps. I hope you remember, even if the worst possibility happens, this message will remain on your heart. As true, as crystal clear, that you seek to be prayer-first Christian. Number three, why should we fast and pray? It is to seek deliverance from spiritual bondages, overcoming the demonic powers over a situation. First, we have our fallen heart. So even though we have a good, noble intention, we end up not doing. That's why we sin, right? We sin not because we're not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. Jesus went up to the mountain, and Peter, James, and John, you three come with me. So the inner circle, the spiritual focus, and they were always called in with as a core group among the disciples. The rest of you stay. He went up to the mountain, and that the famous transfiguration happened as he was changed. So his hidden glory was revealed for the first time. Peter didn't know what to do. He was standing with Elijah and Moses, and basically he fell on his ground, trembling, not knowing what he was saying, but he said, "Lord, permit me to build a tabernacle, tent here, one for you and one for the prophets." And he didn't know what he was saying. So after that, they came back, you know, spiritually really high. The reality hit them first. The rest of the disciples were doing ministry, trying to cast out demon from this boy. They couldn't. In the verse 28 of Mark chapter 9, it says, "When he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to him, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Prayer, fasting in itself doesn't have a power, but it opens the gate of power of the Holy Spirit that we receive the spiritual authority over demonic powers. And we have given the power to be delivered and to deliver others from spiritual bondages. So as I mentioned before, there are some things in an inward problem. The fallen heart, if I will to do, can I do it, follow through? No, sometimes not. I basically do the opposite. Romans 7 is all about that. Apostle Paul saying, the very things I want to do, I end up not doing. The things that I do not want to do, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man. Who will save me from this body, the wretched body, the sinful fleshly body? But in this case, the evil is out there. The outward focus of the prayer, external focus, external power is there. And I think it could be the circumstances. I think it's when Satan gets foothold and going into all directions. That's the time that we need to remember. I cannot do it on my own power. How do I tap into the power of the Holy Spirit who resides in us? So Richard Foster, who wrote Celebration of Disciplines, wrote this, fasting reveals what controls us. So in other words, when you go fasting, instead of becoming more, you become patient and godly and more loving. And oftentimes we face anger, bitterness within us. What's been really controlling? Of course, physiologically, we even joke about hangry, when you are hungry and you get angry, right? But it's beyond that. There are some things that I haven't let go and forgive. And there's a sense of anger within us. And that's the type of deliverance that we need to have. Because fasting and prayer opens the access to God's supernatural power and authority over demonic powers. It can not only free us, but free others in spiritual bondage. Well, I think this is one of the most convicting things for me. One of the main spiritual bondages in our days is prayerlessness, which is the reason for our spiritual complacency and powerlessness. And then we hear the messages. Prayer is important. Pray. We need to pray. We need to pray cooperatively. We need to pray together. We need to pray regularly. We need to pray without ceasing. But the problem is, we can't. This is beyond our own human capability. This is the oppression and demonic way of just trapping us is really there. And fasting and prayer can break this kind of bondage. Andrew Murray, who wrote extensively about prayer in early 1900s and about humility. So anything Andrew Murray wrote, I would highly recommend. And I found this, one of his writings in 1920 about prayer. He writes, "If he had only understood, he would have said, 'Lord, thou seest how cold and dark my heart is. I know that I must pray, but I feel I cannot do so. I lack the urgency and desire to pray.' He did not know that at that moment, the Lord Jesus, in his tender love, was looking down upon him and saying, 'You cannot pray. You feel that all is cold and dark. Why not give yourself over into my hands? Only believe that I am ready to help you in prayer. I long greatly to shed abroad my love in your heart, so that you, in your consciousness of weakness, may confidently rely on me to bestow the grace of prayer, just as I will cleanse you from all other sins, so also will I deliver from the sin of prayerlessness. Only do not seek the victory in your own strength. Bow before me as one who expects everything from his Savior, Let your soul keep silence before me, however sad you feel your state to be. Be assured of this, I will teach you how to pray. Let's take this as our Lord Jesus saying to us as we're going into fasting and prayer chain. The truth is, if we overcome the denial, our main problem is, even if we want to pray, we just don't have the urgency and desire to pray. We end up doing other things, isn't it? But if Lord Jesus wants more than us, this invitation is just a beautiful, encouraging invitation. And lastly, the fourth reason why we should pray and fast is to draw near to the Lord, deepening our intimacy with God. Psalm 63, David's crying out, my soul thirsts after you in a parched land. And just imagine the wilderness, a dry desert. And then his soul is thirsting after God. Hungering after God. How do we get to that state? Once again, fasting helps because it's declaring our hunger for God. And then David says, for, because your loving kindness, steadfast love, is better than life. Staying alive is good, but your steadfast love, in your experiencing intimate love with you, is better than living, better than life. So I really want to hear us this invitation. Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 2, our Lord, God, Yahweh himself, and gives us this invitation to individually, to you and me, and to all of us as the people of God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Isn't this great? This is Old Testament. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. This is his covenant with each one of us as well. So this invitation is fasting, is to declare our utter dependence and hunger for God. And this is not, as I said before, reiterating, not a merit system. If I fast and suffer, God will see my effort and endeavor and give me what I want or credit me better than before. No, rather, this is an invitation to grace, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And think of this. Not because we are attractive, not because we deserve, despite of our fallen nature inconsistency of our discipleship, the fickleness of our commitment, the Lord gives us this invitation to grace. How attractive, freeing, rich this invitation to gracious God really is. Hallelujah! The month of October, we get to experience this free grace, the richness of God, the steadfast love of God, which is better than life. So let's prepare our hearts spiritually this way. This is not a just, you know, dragging our feet into something that we ought to suffer with the exchange of something. That will be legalistic posture. But going into grace, receiving, anticipating, getting excited about what God will give me. I'm thirsty. Many of you spiritually burnt out. Many of you don't have a desire to serve anymore. Oh, I think, you know, you could go through some therapy. I've been going to therapy, nothing wrong with that. But the true renewal comes when we encounter God firsthand, that He gives us freely what we need, the newness of life, the life that everlasting bubbles up, like the rivers of our flowing, overflowing in our belly. The joy will be real. That you will experience intimacy with God again. My brothers and sisters, let's receive childlike way this invitation to grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your invitation to gracious God, who longs to give us what we need, what we cannot produce in ourselves. That we pray that no matter what happens in our future, in our next steps, the Lord will meet with us, each one of us personally, as we are joining in hand-to-hand chain of prayer and fasting in the month of October. May your Spirit give us life and steadfast love and joy that overcomes all our current anxiousness and circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray.